First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these days as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, whatever podcast app you're using, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course,
twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext. Hello, Twitch and YouTube room.
Yeah, every Tuesday night, we watch NXT 2.0, and then we talk about it, because we are your NXT friends.
Friends!
Braden and Davey will always be your NXT friends, and we're here to chat about a heat wave.
Oh, we've had a few of them recently. Yeah. It's been very hot in the city. I know my folks back home have been saying it's very hot there.
UK's on fire.
Yeah, so a great time. Yeah. To have a bit of a heat wave in NXT.
It's the summertime.
It's been so hot in the UK that they've packed up their bags in Enfield and flown over to Florida. That's how hot it is.
Damn.
Gallus couldn't have enough of that hot Enfield heat.
It's too hot.
So they're moving to Orlando.
That little,
it's a little cooler.
That little warehouse they film NXT UK in, it's too hot. No AC. They sent them all over here. In NXT UK invasion. On 2.0. Mm. Wow. Who would have thought we'd ever see it?
That we're here.
Yeah. Look at us. Huh? We'll get into some heat wave, all from NXT tonight. A bit of a TV special, tonight with some title matches and all that stuff that we will, definitely dive into. Tomorrow night, you're going to be once again joining John Pollock for Rewind Dynamite.
Yes.
And so check that out on the Post Wrestling YouTube and their feed afterwards.
And then I believe next week we'll be back to our regular kind of BD Elite, doing our weekly Dynamite review. But yeah, it's been fun joining John, because great reasons. I think it's time to pour one in.
Yes.
The newest member.
Cheers.
Of the Post Wrestling family.
Salute. It's
Ting!
Yeah.
Little Aussie Ting.
Shout out Aussie Ting. He'll always be Sting to us. But yeah, good friend of the show, Post Wrestling's Wei Ting, is now a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And you love to see it. So all the love there to our friends. So yeah, you'll be filling in with John, who's got a few kids. He's past the, like... Or maybe not. He's still like in like dad mode because he's...
he's full dad mode. Yeah.
We're going to be going to Raw.
He's
going to
be our dad next Monday, isn't he?
Next Monday night, Raw in the six, and John Pollock is taking us out on the town to Monday Night Raw. And then the Tuesday afterwards, I think at noon on the Post Wrestling YouTube next Tuesday, I'll be going live with John for a bit of a Rewind of Raw special. So I'll be filling in for Wei on that show as well. But we're going to have fun going to Raw.
Io
Sky and Dakota Kai versus...
Asuka and Alexa.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Edge?
I've never seen Edge wrestle before.
There you go. In Toronto, bucket list.
Going to hear Metalingus?
You're going to lose it. We're going to get John to sing along.
We're going to get John to sing. That's my... We want to... We're going to take our championship belt.
Yeah, we have one for John to wear.
We're going to give John a belt to wear.
Yeah.
Going to give him some, like, I don't know, the Miz shirt. Like,
we have to get him the Miz shirt, yeah. He'll wear it for sure.
He's got to.
Yeah, we got to get him... It's Raw in Toronto. You gotta cheer. We're gonna get him to cheer. This is awesome.
Yep. Pollock's, fight forever.
Pollock's gonna be just having a great
time.
I'm
excited.
We might get some drinks and some food before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe after the show. We're gonna convince
some
him
bourbon.
To get karaoke after, right?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Bourbon will get the trick done. Yeah. Yeah. You wanna be real
Basil
slick?
Basil Hayden's. We gotta
The real. I know John Pollock very well. His weakness is bourbon. He has a weird drink choice, but it's actually really lit. So I give him it. But. His weakness is bourbon and diet A&W root beer.
Okay.
It's really odd. Not that odd.
It's kind of hard to find in a bar.
Yeah.
A&W.
So he's not coming out then. It's the night's ruined. We'll never get him out for karaoke.
Mm.
What do you think? You think he'll come out afterwards?
We'll try. Probably not. Probably not. But we can always try. It's a long show.
Yeah, true. Well, we'll be at Raw. So look for us tweeting all about that.
If you're there, say hello. And there's also a few other events we're going to this week in the city.
Hell yeah.
We've got Demand Lucha taking place this Thursday.
Yeah, I'm excited. We get to see Effie, Alley Catch, Gringo Loco. A few others that are on the scene. I mentioned on the show, we haven't seen them on NXT. Axiom kind of stole some guy's gimmick. That guy's on the card.
Oh, really?
Razor or something like that. Motorola Razor or something like that. I don't know. But I'm super excited. Lucha Party this Thursday. If you are in the Toronto area, we will be at the show. So get a ticket and come hang out.
Yeah, these have been great fun. And also this Sunday, August 21st, Superkicked are running a show we're going to go to. And it's pretty big. House of Black. So Buddy Matthews, Malachi Black, and Brody King.
Hell yeah.
Taking on Team Superkicked, Mark Wheeler, Chris Chambers, and my boss, Jesse V. So,
nice.
This should be pretty fun.
Hell yeah.
I know Jake Something's on the card as well. Yeah, like, should be really fun. That's at Alliance Hall this Sunday. So, yeah, if you're in the Toronto area and want to
come
and
shows. Hang out
and watch some wrestling and say hi, yeah, support local.
Yeah, go buy some tickets to these indie shows because they're so much fun. And now that things are back and running again, like, man, these shows are hitting so hard. So Demand Lucha's killing it. Superkicked are killing it. And we've been having a fun at these shows. So if you're going, let us know. You know the details. DM us. We're always open and super chill. We'll totally hang out.
And who knows? Raw could kill it on Monday.
There you go. So, hey, yeah, let us know if you're going to Raw, too. Be good times. But, yeah, a whole week full of wrestling. While we're in plug mode, you can check out more of our podcasts at patreon.com/upnext because $5 a month, North American tier, gets you access to all the podcasts that we do, like retro NXT reviews. Right now, the boss, Sasha Banks, is in full swing, like kicked right into the gear of the actual boss, Sasha Banks. We have retro NXT reviews, like I said. We got Best Match Ever, Rey Mysterio, coming out next week, so we're working on that list. Then this week, we have, well, it's Heatwave tonight, so we looked at Heatwave 1998, considered one of the best ECW pay-per-views, Heatwave 98. We took a look at Bam Bam Bigelow versus Taz, which was a banger and still holds up, man, when they fall through the ramp and stuff.
Absolutely.
That match was awesome. Jerry Lynn, Just Incredible. There's like the Dudley's Dreamer Sandman, all these crazy ECW. We chat all about that. That came out this past week. What else did we do? We did Rumble in the Bronx, Jackie
Justin.
Chan.
Great
chat there. That was a total fun chatting all about that. Jackie Chan, Rumble in the Bronx.
Rumble in Vancouver.
Essentially. Yeah. And then we got a Was Next coming out this week. And then are you ready for the big...
It's the big one.
It's a big show.
It's National Orangutan Day. So we're talking about Dunstan Checks In.
Wow.
This one's definitely got some heads turning.
I don't know if anyone's knows about this movie. So we did Shark Week. We've done, what have we done?
We do our Halloween stuff. We do our Christmas stuff. We've done some
Loch Ness.
Andrew's Day. We've
Loch
done
Ness,
some Patrick's
yeah.
Day.
We like to celebrate the animal kingdom here in our podcast. So we decided that on World Orangutan Day, which I believe is this Thursday. So what, the 18th?
The 19th.
The 19th. Well, wait, no, that would make it the 18th.
Oh, well, it's the 19th is natural.
Oh, okay.
So Friday.
Okay, so Friday is World Orangutan Day, and we're celebrating by chatting about the best orangutan movie starring Jason Alexander.
I can't wait. It's been so long since I've seen this
An orangutan in a hotel.
If what more
this
do
rings
you want?
A bell, like Google this, you might get a weird deja vu memory, trip down memory lane kind of thing. So we're going to be chatting all about this. We would love feedback there, patrons.
And did you know orangutans are the heaviest tree-dwelling animal?
Wow. Yeah. Well, did you know that the orangutan is one of humankind's closest relative because, in fact, according to National Geographic, we have 97% of the same DNA.
Ooh.
And the word orangutan, orang-hutan, means human of the forest.
Wow.
The more you know.
The more you know.
More orangutan facts on Dunstan Checks In review coming
up. I'll have to drop one on Rewinder Dynamite tomorrow.
Orangutans also don't have bones. Just in case you were wondering. No. So we have all these crazy reviews out there. Go give us a peep on the Patreon and you might enjoy some of the shows we do because we have so many there. It equals pennies per podcast. There's a whole back catalog. Movie reviews, wrestling, all that stuff. Go check us out. You won't regret it. I promise. But I mean, before NXT, I'm sorry, but I mean, there's some rumblings of a big return happening in wrestling really soon.
Ooh.
Have you heard about this? I mean, tomorrow night's Dynamite, right?
Oh.
And I mean, the Young Bucks are looking for a partner, right?
Hear the battle cry?
Oh, I was referring to Fightful reporting that Brandi Rhodes has been training in the Performance Center.
I did see that.
Brandi Rhodes coming back. Sorry, Kenny Omega who? Yeah, I'm super hyped for Kenny Omega tomorrow night. So definitely looking forward to watching that. I think that's the logical. Mm. It's not Marty, so thinking it's Kenny. But no, Brandi Rhodes. So when Cody comes back, she's going to be wrestling.
I guess so. I mean, I know there are a lot of Brandi haters out there. I've never really been one of them. I can't say her wrestling really lights the world on fire, but I don't mind her as part of like the Cody act. Right. I think maybe with a bit more direction in WWE than they've had in AEW when they were really left to their own devices and things got a bit weird. I don't mind her being kind of part of the act and maybe taking a bump here and there. So I don't know, but yeah, I kind of figured it would be a matter of time before we see her come in and be with Cody.
Yeah, bring it on. Yeah. Can't wait. The queen. She's going to interrupt people's promos and be like, "What up, bitch?" Isn't that her thing? What did she say? I'm a black bitch? I'm pretty sure she said, quote Brandi Rhodes. Yeah, she did say that in a promo. She's going to interrupt someone and say that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Can't wait.
Yeah. It's... You think Cody's coming back, like... Kingdom plays and it's just Brandi.
I'm trying to think who she can interrupt. Like Ronda Rousey, you're a black belt. I'm a black bitch.
I guess.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man. Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rose. Sorry, I'm messing them up. Brandi Rhodes.
Brandi Rhodes.
Mandy
Does
Rose.
She come back as Eden?
Eden, wow.
Eden Styles, was that her name?
Her WWE name.
I think it was Eden Styles.
Wow.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Good stuff. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I might be something, well, we're talking about things that are coming up. Something might be in the plan, me talking on Scrump Show about Better Call Saul.
Oh.
Because after like 13 years of this whole Breaking Bad story, it finally came to an end last night.
Oh, damn, okay.
Was like, it's hard, long running series and stuff to kind of stick the landing. Mm. I really thought they did.
Okay.
Really great stuff. So I know Scrump put out the call today, so might be chatting with him in the next week or so about kind of thoughts on that. So look out for that if you're interested.
I'm actually going to be on his show this week as well.
Oh, nice.
I think on Monday that comes out. So look for the PWT cast with Scrump, Scrumptious Scrump. And then a quick reminder that if you are thinking of coming to Toronto for AEW, definitely try to get those tickets when they go on sale, because it's going to be pretty hard. They usually only let you buy like four or six, so it might be difficult. So I would recommend for people who are planning, like, definitely try your hardest to get a bunch of tickets. And hey, if you get more, you just sell them off or get people to come and easily find people, because I feel like they might be a hot ticket both nights in Toronto. The venue's not the biggest venue, so tickets will be, I think it will sell out.
I think most people are going to, it's not going to be like, oh, well, if I can't go on the Wednesday, I'll go on the Thursday. I think people are going to want to do both.
Both, yeah, for sure. So look for that.
But aside from that, how's your week been?
It's good, yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen much of you.
Yeah, I've been good. I'm taking tomorrow night off the Dynamite show. I'm going to go see Lord Huron. I'm a big fan. I was just at Kurungbin, another concert. So I've been I got a bike. I've been going on bike rides.
Very nice.
Just going by the water. I went on a kayak near the water the other day. Just been enjoying. Again, it's been hot this week, so I'm taking advantage of it.
Like, really busy in the city. Like, there's a lot going on. Work has been especially busy. There's been like the Def Leppard, Joan Jett, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Concert.
I know. I wanted to go to that.
Which, like, we got absolutely slammed at work. There's been all these kind of conferences going on. There was Beer Fest right outside our place the other day.
My mom's birthday was last week, so she's at Styx right now, because I got her tickets to Styx, REO Speedwagon, and Loverboy. And part of me just wanted to go for Loverboy, but I was like, no, take a friend or something. So she's having a she's probably listening to Mr. Roboto right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Styles is playing Lady Gaga.
It is crazy, like, over
it's
there.
It's been so busy.
We live right near the ACC, sorry, the Scotiabank and the CN Tower and the Dome. And like, Harry Styles was here today, because I walked by to get some groceries and I was like, what is going on?
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. He moves tickets for sure.
It was funny on Saturday night at work. Had these two guys who'd been at the Jays game the other day. They were pretty pretty liquored up, had one drink, and then after I served them, they were like, oh, they kind of making some comments, like someone at the bar and stuff, like being a little cheeky, and I was like, okay, I'll monitor it. They ordered some food, go and get their food, come back, they've dipped.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck's sake. They come back a bit later, and I'm like, nah, get out.
Yeah.
And they go, no, I think my friend left his glasses. And I went, oh, yeah, the glasses, sure. By the way, you need to pay your bill. Oh, what do I owe you? It's like, you owe for two drinks and two meals. Okay. Pays. Zero tip. And goes, oh, and the glasses? I'm like, sorry, you dine and dash, you're rude to customers, you're like being drunk idiots, and then you pay and you don't tip me and you expect me to give you your glasses back? Pulls out a 20, hands it over. He's like, yeah, I didn't find any glasses. And then he goes, oh, what about the food? Oh, the Philly cheesesteak you ordered an hour ago? Yeah, I ate it. And my friend here ate the wings. Fuck off.
I was going to ask where you got those new Ray-Bans from. No. Yeah, he didn't deserve it.
No. It's like so good, though, to like get them back.
Yeah, justification.
Yeah.
For sure.
Felt good.
Yeah, don't dine and dash, people.
Yeah.
And tip your servers.
Be nice to people.
Yeah, in the summertime.
Choose kindness, you know?
Yeah, be nice to your staff and everywhere you go these times. You know, it's the summertime. You're supposed to be having a good time and being happy.
Yeah.
So keep doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a heat wave going on, you know?
Heat wave!
You know, we gotta look out for each other.
Street fight tonight?
Street fight tonight!
I guess we can jump into some NXT. I mean, Raw seems like it's old NXT with all these people. Kevin Owens saying he's a wrestler. We got Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, all these
people. Yeah, it's like people. Raw is now black and gold, and NXT is now UK.
It's like Ciampa, and like, yep. No, NXT UK is 2.0 now.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Right. Well, maybe let's get into it.
For sure.
It's NXT Heatwave from August 16th, 2022. What's that? 22 years since the last Heatwave event.
When was the last one? 2001?
2000, I believe.
2000.
Wow, I did see a thing backstage of Cora Jade and Steve Corino. And Cora's like, I wasn't even alive when Heatwave was a thing.
No.
Which is crazy.
Wow. She had to learn about 9/11 in school.
Yeah. That's our new kind of measuring stick, isn't it? We get a voiceover at the beginning of the show. NXT normally do these quite well. They're like big events. They do a bit of a video package.
I mean, Heatwave, ECW.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Lee.
Yeah, he's introducing the voiceover for the whole video,
yeah,
the whole
which
show.
Which was pretty cool, doing the voiceover here. And we kick things off hot right away with the North American Championship match. Carmelo Hayes taking on Giovanni Vinci. Mello catches Vinci very early on with his springboard clothesline, which we've seen him kind of finish matches with before. Vinci comes back and just hits this dirty open hand chop across the chest. Clearly.
Really nice.
Learned from his days with Volta, with this one.
Who?
And Trick's face on the outside with this chop.
Yeah.
It sounded like that UFC knockout you showed me just before.
Yeah, this. I don't know who that was, but there's a video of this knockout from today that was just fire, but crazy.
But yeah, Williams was great on the outside, just being like, oh, that hurt. There's a rolling shoulder senton into the moonsault from Vinci for a two count. And then Mello catches Vinci in the ropes and hits the fadeaway, his like backwards leg drop.
I love when wrestlers do, look, the hanging on the rope spot is so overdone and it looks so silly, but wrestlers, when they kind of explain
why
he would be hanging there. So I always gave props to Io for, she was always the best at, but I think Hayes and Vinny here.
Yeah.
Got it pretty on the nose.
Mello jumps off the top and Vinci goes to catch him for his brainbuster, but kind of slips, but still gets him up and hits the crazy looking brainbuster here. Vinci then goes to the last ride powerbomb, but Mello slips out and hits his like suplex lift into the cutter.
Yeah, it's an awesome move. Yeah, it should be his finisher.
Similar to like Dustin's finisher.
It's kind of
here. Vinci then runs up the turnbuckle with this huge crossbody, taking out both Trick and Mello on the outside, which caused holy shit chants from this crowd. Mello then goes for the nothing but the net. Nothing but net, guillotine leg drop. But Vinci moves, so he rolls through, and then Vinci just catches him with this crazy rainmaker-like lariat here.
Yeah, it was that. He spun him inside out. Yeah, it was
looked
crazy.
Looked great. Goes to the last ride powerbomb again, but Williams runs in, so he just throws Mello onto Tricky here. Then hits Trick with the last ride, goes to the last ride on Mello, but Mello counters this with a Rey Mysterio-esque snap Rana.
West Coast
hooking popper. The legs for the pin.
Like a Dragon Rana or something. Yeah. It was nasty.
And it looked great because you saw, like, Mello doesn't usually win like this.
Yeah.
And Vinci's been on this winning streak. You could see him trying to kick out, but just absolutely caught here. So good finish for the match. And, entertaining opener here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Vinny Vici, he does some crazy stuff. As when he was Fabian Aichner, we were always like, man, look at this guy fly and do all these technical stuff. But here, him hitting like the double rope springboards and all this stuff, he's just insane. And I'm kind of bummed he didn't win, but we kind of could see that it wasn't the time just yet. But I still think big things. And looking at like a bigger picture, you could easily put him in the group with Walter and so-and-so down the line, or like feud with them or whatever. But this was pretty sweet.
I would say as far as like the black and gold bleed over talent, 2.0 has been really good for Aichner.
Yeah.
I think he's shown more personality. He's got a gimmick now, but it's not goofy. It actually fits him. And I think it's allowed him to showcase a bit more than just being like the quiet man behind
like
Volta,
you know? The entrance with the photo snaps is pretty goofy, but
it's goofy,
he's
but
Johnny
he makes
Sins.
It work.
Yeah,
you know, he makes it work.
Yeah, he's handsome.
I think this has been good for him and has really showcased how good he is as a solo act. I think there's more in this match, to be honest. I thought this was good, but there were a couple of slips here and there, and I think they could take it to the next level. The Williams interference stuff got a bit much at the end, especially right in front of the ref. I hate, like, okay, whether you successfully attack the guy or not, you're running in the ring.
Yeah.
Like,
it's over. You're done.
DQ. Like, that bothers me.
Or stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like if they had, like, you know, 20 minutes, they could put on probably like an all-timer. But it does lead me to believe the North American title will be put up for grabs in a multi-man, possibly a ladder match again. Because, like, think about it. He's not going to be going for the NXT title anymore, maybe, possibly. I don't know.
But at the Labor Day show?
Yeah, the all-in day show.
All-in.
But still, great way to start this show. And Mello on... Oh, we didn't mention Mello's entrance with the trash can on fire, the heat wave.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got the shirt. He always has, because he puts like the dead on, I dead you, I put you on a shirt kind of thing. So the trash can on fire was a nice touch as well. But both...
His gear with flames all over.
Yeah, both acts are some of my favorites that are going on in 2.0.
We see Mandy Rose with Toxic Attraction arrive as Bron Breakker's arriving as well. And they have a little moment, the two champions here saying, I guess we'll see who's leaving with their titles tonight.
Did you see that Dodge, the car company, said they're not going to be going forward by making any more Dodge Chargers?
Really?
What are NXT wrestlers are going to show up on?
I was going to say, what's my Uber going to be? I swear I'm always
in the Dodge Charger. Yeah, that's a pretty sweet Uber to get. No, but like, remember that we always show up in the red or the black Dodge Charger in NXT? Clearly, they just have one that they use for all the shots. But yeah, damn. Pour one out.
We then see a video Julius Creed posted on Twitter earlier today saying, I rewatched the 8-man tag from a few weeks ago over and over again, and I saw something. And tonight, at Heatwave, I'm going to address what I saw.
I saw something.
We then have Robert Stone with Von Wagner cutting a bit of a Von Wagner rehab promo after his loss against Solo the other week.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Million Dollar Man Weekend Rebuilding, but it's just him saying that the game has changed, but the rules are the same.
He's saying, if you learn one thing from that Falls Count Anywhere match is you realize Von is a freak of nature. And he goes over all his like athletic ability as well and says he could walk onto any football pitch right away and get a job if he wants. And then
why are you in NXT?
go to the NFL then. It's probably better money. It will be better money. Wagner says, I don't care if you're internet famous or big with the media. It doesn't matter. Anyone can't survive in my jungle. It's like, but you lost, dude.
Wait a second. Hold on. Now it's a jungle?
It's not a street. He lost the street.
No.
So he's claiming the jungle.
I thought it was Wagner's world, and we're just living in it, but now the jungle is in the world.
Well, he went from the world to the street, and yeah, now sorry. It's just got a jungle.
So the, he took the street to the jungle, but and they're both in the world.
I know someone tweeted us today being like, oh, with the new regime change, yeah. if there's ever going to be a Forbidden Door WWE AEW thing, I mean, Von's, like, once Jack is done with Christian, I think Von's shooting his shot here for the jungle boy.
It's Von's, it's Wagner's jungle just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Jungle boy Von Wagner.
Both incredible wrestlers.
Yeah, they are.
I laughed that he's now moved away from the world, the streets, and the jungles. But he likes to put set. He's creative. He storytells.
He'll end up just being like, it's Wagner's shed. And you're just living in it or something. Just gets smaller and smaller.
The jungle.
We go to Diamond Mine, who are in the ring. And Julius says, under a year ago, we joined Diamond Mine under leadership of Roderick Strong. We won the Dusty Cup and won the tag team titles. We did that for Diamond Mine. We've been stitched up and busted open from cannonballs for this right here, as he motions to the gold. But it's come to my attention that someone is trying to destroy Diamond Mine. And I'm using this opportunity to call him out right now. Julius is kind of looking at the stage as if he's going to bring someone down. And he says, Roderick Strong. Going where we thought this would go.
And he turns right around.
And
I like how Brutus sells it like, oh, what?
Oh, my word. What? Roddy. Roddy just loses his mind. He's like, are you kidding me? I started Diamond Mine. I brought you in as top athletes who needed guidance. That's something I never had. And then the crowd are chanting, they don't need you. Mm. Roddy's like, no, they do. They do. And I say this with pride. You are one of the best tag teams in WWE, and I'd run you against the Usos any day of the week. You guys are the future, which is a match I'd definitely like to see.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Julius says, we're not the future, we're the now. And you can say whatever to our face, because I know when you get a chance, you will stab us in the back. And the rest of Diamond Mine are kind of looking, oh, which way do we go? Noah Ivy Nile here, by the way.
Yeah, just Damon Kemp.
Damon Kemp and Brutus. And Brutus says, I've got your back, as he joins his brother. And Roddy warns them about the next words that are going to come out their mouth when Julius says he isn't playing games anymore, so let's roll the tape. And they roll the tape from the 8-man match the other week against the D'Angelo family when Roddy, quote-unquote, accidentally hits Julius with the flying knee. But Julius says there's something there. I wish they kind of replayed this again.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about Tony kind of tapping the mat and there being a look between the two as if maybe there's a signal that he's going to make it look like he's going to knee Tony but actually catch Julius.
So maybe I'm right. Roddy is secretly Italian.
Maybe.
And he's joining the family.
Yeah. But then, which I didn't think this was the way they were going, because no. I thought it was the fact that Roddy just decided not to break up the pin when he was on the outside.
That's exactly where I thought it was going.
But they're showing that there was this like look and this signaling, and Roddy says, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Since May, you've had something against me. And as he's going off, Dallas
what?
Run in.
No way.
Attack the Creeds. Attack Damon. And they then corner Roddy. You think maybe they're going to side with Roddy, but they attack him as well. And then Gallus's music plays, the green lights come on, and we see the image from Apollo's vision the other week where they're in the green lights,
help
all
us.
Like dying in the ring.
Wow.
But yeah, so sort of furthering the Diamond Mine breakup, I still wouldn't say it is a complete like severance of the team.
Yeah, it's not because they all got attacked.
They all got attacked.
Yeah,
and Gallus to absolute crickets making their debut.
There was one guy cheering,
losing
Gallus.
His mind.
He just went Gallus,
Gallus,
Gallus, fucking oh. Gallus. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were talking about this last week that it seems they're going to be bringing more UK people over, and I mean, we could not wait for Gallus to show up, and we joked, but we shouldn't have manifested that because it actually happened because Gallus. Oh, Gallus is here.
They just look like shit. Like, one of them's in this, like, lemon yellow sweater.
One of them was in a sweater. I thought it was the Mean Street Posse for a second.
Honestly, they look like they.
The Mean Scott Posse.
These guys don't look intimidating at all.
Are they Scott? They're Scottish.
They're Scottish.
Yeah, because I can't understand.
I haven't really enjoyed much of their stuff in UK. I can't say this is an act I'm particularly excited about coming over.
Yeah.
But also, like, NXT UK is developmental, and at some point you've got to, like we see with people in NXT, at some point you've got to shit or get off the pot and do something with them and move them up. So I guess their time has come, as many we've seen on today's show, but I can't say this kind of excited me much at all.
Yeah, not a big fan of Gallus. Bless them. I like some of their stuff on the indies and stuff, but I just they're not exciting.
But that's what they look like.
Yeah,
indie.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
And they've been in the company a while, and like, why? This is your big, like, TV debut.
Yeah.
And you're, like, dressing like a fucking Mean Street Posse. Wagner, what's his name? Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Like, Wolfgang hasn't bothered ironing his shirt. Like, he just, they all look like shit.
Remember Wolfgang in the UK thing? His gimmick? He's a bartender.
He's a bartender. Yeah.
In Scotland.
He looked like me bartending today on Little Sleep when I was like, fuck, I better get into work and just pick up any old shirt that's hanging.
I'll say that I liked the turn in the ring when Julius, like, goes, it was you, Roddy. I love that in wrestling, right? Like, it's a good when it's revealed, like, no, I'm talking about you, Roddy.
Yeah.
And I like that. And then as soon as I thought it was getting good, it was Gallus. And then I went, oh, all right. And then the thing with the lights and the shot of the vision from last week, it made me laugh, which I'm like, okay, it's like advancing this thing. It's something new, so I'll give them that. But it still made me laugh. And I don't know if it was supposed to, you know? But I do love Diamond Mine. And I do not want to watch them fight Gallus, and that's probably like the match down the line or next week or it's multiple iterations.
So would it be Creeds and Kemp or Creeds and Roddy? I guess that's the
guess we'll have to find out every Tuesday night.
A fourth member of Gallus.
Yeah. the Coffee Brothers and Wolfgang Puck.
I'm
super excited.
But again, like we've seen over the last few weeks, giving Julius more and more. We've seen him do a bunch of like backstage promos.
Yeah.
From what I recall, this is his first like big kind of in-ring promo that I can remember. I think he's great.
Creeds are awesome.
Whole act really works.
The Creeds, this whole unit could go up, I think, actually, just because they're already really good. The wrestling is there. What Roddy said about the Usos, there's so many other teams. They could be a really bright, fresh, like, addition to some tag team wrestling, but they are getting there.
Which is a division I hope under Triple H really gets some work done to it,
sure.
Because you've got teams there. If you were to bring back a Gargano, you could do DIY like again.
He's coming back.
You can have the Creeds in there. There's so many teams you can Viking Raiders. You can retool. We know they're great. Just they're goofy as fuck right now. But that's something I'd like to see because the women's division is getting a lot of attention at the moment and is in a good position right now on the main roster. I'd really like to see it with the tag division.
Yeah, I mean, the talent is there. There's a bunch of teams that can just instantly make that division. And hell, Gable and Otis.
Otis, you've had Street Profits and
Street Profits.
Usos kill it.
Usos.
But it's the thing is, Street Profits, New Day, Usos, we've just seen the combination a lot.
Yeah.
It's time to mix in some more teams there.
For sure.
We see Roxanne Perez backstage, who's being interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell, says it's the most nervous she's ever been walking into a match, and her stomach's been in knots. Because she never thought she'd be in the ring against her best friend. But Cora ended our friendship, and now she has nowhere to hide. She made her bed, and now she has to lay in it, as we hear the generation of Jade, or whatever it is, as Cora's music starts to lead into the match.
Friend of the show, Fire Frank, the BDE champion, messaged us and said that it sounds like Cora's new heel music is actually just like a screamo cover of her old theme.
Oh.
I have not listened back yet, but that if true, big if true. Skater girl, but now screamo emo night girl.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you follow Cora Jade on Instagram?
I do.
She posted that she was on a lovely date.
Oh.
The other.
Yeah.
With
Bronny Boy?
With Braun Breaker.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for
them. I like wrestling couples.
Well, she saw Trey Baxter cheating on her with Ric Flair.
Getting the fist bump. Now we know why Ric fist bumped.
He's like, it's okay.
Sorry, lads.
It's alright.
Happens to the best of us.
I may have passed out twice in the last half hour, but just, are you alright, Trey?
Trey Baxter. He's awesome. I don't want to shit on him at all.
He's great. I like Trey Baxter.
Really,
he's really good.
We really
love
him.
I know he's called Blake Christian now again. Blake Christian. It's just funnier calling him Trey Baxter.
Yeah. The internet is so cruel, man. Like, people, when that news got out, like, the internet is just so cruel.
And, hey, like, relationship ends. People move on. Like, it's not. It's
something you got to remember. Something you do have to remember. I know we do podcasts, and who are we? Almighty. We make fun of wrestlers all day, all night. But they are people. These are actual people. Yeah. So sometimes, you know.
Yeah, man. Preach.
Exactly.
Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. Perez comes and is ready. She charges the ring, hits a Fez press, and then two Lope Suiciders on the outside, taking out Cora. I know you always bring up about how Corey on Raw will talk about, like, as a former tag team champion, talking about his days in NXT. I'm sorry, but this takes the biscuit. Wade Barrett here going on about being a former FCW tag team champion McIntyre.
Oh, come on.
You're like, come on, Wade. That's come on, Wade. You're better than that.
FCW.
You're better than that.
He was never tag champ? I guess not.
No, I was surprised. I had to fact check this. He was only ever the IC champ.
Yeah. Bless him.
But yeah, I did find it funny bringing his FCW days here to kind of add context to this Cora Jade.
Just say you were in the core, dude. Yeah. Just I was in the core. I was also in Nexus.
Yeah. Cora then hits a vertical suplex on the floor. There's an exchange of pin combinations where Roxanne bridges out of one of them, and then a double pump kick from both women laying out both of them. Cora then hits her running Jade hits her running uppercut in the corner, followed by the side Russian leg sweep, and then Cora hits like a page turner.
Yeah, was this Cora or Roxy?
Sorry, Roxy.
Yeah, Roxy hitting the page turner. Shout out Paige. Mm. Didn't hit it with quite an effect, so it was only a two count.
But it's only a two. Roxy then goes for pop rocks, but Cora slips out and then hits the knee to the face in the ropes, and then Cora hit this strange move. I don't even know what to call it. It was kind of like a sort of like a Blade Runner crossroads sort of thing. But,
the G-Blade?
But not quite.
No, wait, Blade Runner, like...
Not the Sling Blade.
Not the Sling Blade, no.
No, it kind of looked a bit weird here. Cora then goes for her lightsaber, the black kendo stick here.
The, like, pole.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
And swings and misses. Again, this one right in front of the ref. And it's like, oh, but she missed her, so...
She didn't hit it. Okay. I'll allow it.
It's. Can you imagine if that was... Oh, it was attempted murder. Didn't succeed.
You
so
didn't do
it. You're good. Yeah. It didn't happen.
You didn't hit her.
Yeah. Didn't
so
happen.
Fine.
So then Roxy grabs it and is teasing, using it against Cora, and is doing the melodramatic...
do I do it?
Do I hate this girl. I want to hit her with this stick, but I want to win the match. Oh, I'm so conflicted. And... She throws the stick down, but allowing Cora to attack her from behind and then hitting the DDT on the stick. The ref is like, whatever.
It's fine.
1, 2, 3. Cora Jade wins.
Yeah, so Cora Jade is now using Moxley's finisher, like the double arm death rider kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she does it on the pole. The ref clearly is looking at them with the stick, as you could just so funny just saying it's a stick. Stick talk. And... It's just fine, and it's over. I'm like, all right. I know this feud was like, I mean, it had some ups and downs. We could kind of see it coming. I was expecting a bit more. Obviously, I think we'll get a rematch because of this, like, finish, but I was expecting a bit more out of these two because I do, not that this was, like, bad by any means. I just thought that I think the talent is there with both of them, that I think they could have delivered something pretty banging. And it kind of was just, like you said, there was a little bit of some fluff, and then the stick at the end. The stick. Get the stick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel this one is one that needs a kind of street fight. We're getting a lot of street fights at the moment, but
yeah,
it feels like one that kind of needs that.
Yeah.
I'm also, it's going for the Gargano Ciampa Cole O'Reilly thing.
Exactly.
But the story just hasn't reached that yet for me.
No.
And therefore, I know a big criticism from a lot of people with NXT is the melodramatic, looking at your hands, acting, conflict. And it was a lot of this, but it didn't feel quite as justified as some of those, like, aforementioned feuds.
Yeah.
So it was just there. Like, there was nothing particularly wrong. Again, the refereeing just made it a bit...
Just silly.
Silly.
Yeah.
Didn't quite connect with me. But there's nothing necessarily like bad with the match. I just think you can step it up.
Do you do the rematch at the PLE?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a while away, so. But you could have one of them win the title before
I
then.
I feel that's what it needs.
Yeah.
I feel this reign, I mean, we've been saying this for months with Mandy jumping ahead.
Yeah.
She's still champ. But yeah, like how, because it makes more sense to get the title on Takura.
Yeah, how do we hot potato that Takura? Yeah.
So you almost feel like Zoe could have won tonight to just like, paper champion, get it onto Cora.
Because Roxy has the contract, so you could...
No, she's used it.
No, they've mentioned that she still has the contract.
No, she had the match.
Yeah. Oh.
She had the match with Mandy.
I thought they mentioned that still had it.
No, so that's
completely
when,
done.
That's when Cora attacked her.
So you could have had it where like they fight over that and somehow Cora cashes in or something. I don't know what you do, but you do need to... I think that Mandy is just so cold right now that you need to just give the title.
I don't see any challenger for her now. Because... I mean, you've got it. It all seems like heels who won it.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really feel right for Roxanne to beat her for then a feud with Cora over the title because you want the chase.
Yeah, exactly.
So
the chase is way better.
I don't know. The women's division here seems a little like they've got so much talent, but it just seems a bit like weak storyline wise, and definitely with this title being locked up with Mandy for now. We see Briggs, Jensen, and Fallon Henley backstage, and they say Pretty Deadly and Lash Legend got one up on us last week, but we're going to see them again down the line. And this is when Gallus walk in, and they're saying, hey, these tag titles don't belong here. They belong in the UK. You've been tag champs, what, 5 minutes? And Briggs, with line of the night, says... 6 minutes. What up?
Briggs also wearing a Hayward Hollywood Horses shirt. If you've seen the movie Nope, it's a reference
Love
to that
it.
Movie. So
this line genuinely made me laugh.
Both
Six
of us,
minutes. What's up?
Yeah, both of us laughed really loudly, and then we went, "Wow, that was the best thing he's ever said."
He was great. I love these guys.
Yeah.
Gallus then challenges them to a match next week,
and then they fight.
Big pull apart.
Ah, Gallus is just spreading all over the place.
Yeah.
This Gallus. It sounds like something you would ask your doctor about. Do I have Gallus?
Yeah. Is this for the titles next week?
Probably.
It seems, I mean, skipping ahead, like, it feels like some kind of unification of all these.
What?
We're going to get the titles on Gallus. Gallus can feud with the Creeds.
Creeds unify the titles.
Yeah.
And then later on, we might have some other hints at another unification.
And if that means we could get Mako Satomura coming over as well.
Mako versus Mandy.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, give Mako the title. Fuck that. Let's go. Don't even joke about giving
Mako. So are we just... Is NXT UK?
We'll discuss at the end of the show for sure. But yeah, I like Jensen here. Sorry, Briggs and Jensen making me laugh here. But again, Gallus is just like, all right. But then we get to the
real... I love watching your face as well whenever you've got like Gallus or Kaylee Ray talking. You're so like trying to understand what they're saying.
I usually grab the remote and try to put subtitles on.
It's hard. Like I'm more used to Scottish accents than you would be, but it can be tough.
Hey, I have Scottish in me. I'm allowed to make fun of their voices, and I
didn't say you were making fun of them.
Actually, every time we mention Scottish people's accents, all our Scots message us and say, "You're killing me. I'm dying here." So shout out.
You know
out
we
Scott.
Love the Scots. Shout out St. Andrew's.
Shout out St. Andrew's Day, guys. It's coming soon.
We went to November. One of our bars last week where there's a Scottish girl who works.
Yeah.
And you were like, looking forward to St. Andrew's Day? And like, dude, that's in November. It's August right now. She was like, yeah, it's a bit of a way away.
Then I asked her if she was two people on top of each other with the the coat.
With a trench coat. Yeah, it's like I time it. Whenever you meet a new Aussie, it's like, how long until you bring up Vegemite?
Vegemite ice cream.
What?
Yeah.
We get a recap of the D'Angelo and Escobar feud. I thought they did this quite nicely, covering like the last 4 months of this whole feud.
Yeah, it shows a lot of the clips, them sitting at the table last week or whatever. Yeah.
And we go into the match. It's a street fight. Santos Escobar versus Tony D'Angelo. If Santos wins, Legado are free from Tony D.
They had some great entrance here for Santos. I mean, you get the music that's kind of like Mexican standoff. Like, very good.
Mariachi band.
Yeah, very Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Morricone, or I'm messing up his name, but like that kind of thing. And then it like pans up and he's wearing like the whole gear. He's ready for this
he's in
fight.
His mask. You then have Cruz, Del Toro step into the shot. You have Joaquin step into the shot.
Yeah.
They start walking forward and see Electra, who gives them a little nod.
I mean, Santos has machismo. He is like the coolest guy here in NXT. And I love this entrance. And if you've been following and you know the character for quite a while, the whole thing, he's wearing the mask again.
Yep.
So like it's kind of a little tip of the hat.
It definitely, you could tell like, all right, he's going. He's going. This is his big farewell entrance. And I love this. I thought...
Also, his gear he was wearing the gear he once wore, which made me lead to believe some things. If he is going to the main roster, LWO logo all over his gear.
They've been having that shirt for a while, the LDF1.
So, I mean, hey, bring back the LWO. I've been saying it. But do it with Angel Garza.
Humberto
and... Rey Mysterio. Turn him heel. Dirty animal Rey Mysterio with the LWO. He kicks Dominic, sends Dominic to NXT, and they run roughshod on the main roster.
I think Santos could be a main event player if they use him right. I wouldn't have trusted with the old regime, but this guy is so good, and I think he could be all right on his own. I'd love to see the unit back together one day.
Yeah.
Because I just think they work. They look great together. Can see these guys like feuding with the Bloodline and that kind of thing. Especially if we get, you know, Naomi back, who can join them, and you can have Electra on LDF.
There you go.
But I mean, we're skipping ahead. Santos is gone, but like...
Or is he?
But I wouldn't mind him starting off on his own and then building it up again on the main roster. But yeah, this entrance was great. Santos jumps Tony D immediately. Delivering knees to the gut, clotheslines. He Hurricane Rana's Tony onto a steel chair, hits Tony with this big knee to the face, followed by the high cross. Santos isn't letting Tony get anything in here. It's all Santos here. After the commercial break, we see, like, off camera, stacks just fly and take out Wilder and Del Toro, but didn't really catch it at all what happened. You just saw a flying stacks in the corner of the
flying
screen.
Flying stacks.
Yeah. This is the new WWE thing, isn't it? It's like having things out of shot, like Dexter Lumis
flying,
doing things in the background and
getting
stuff.
Arrested.
Yeah. And then Tony hits Santos with a suplex onto steel chairs on the floor, followed by a Falcon Arrow in the ring for a two count. Escobar starts to fight back with drop kicks and Ranas. And then he has one of the best Tope Suiciders. This one going in the corner.
Yeah. Through the ropes, through the corner, to the outside where Tony's like near the crowd, essentially. This was nuts.
I know in Lucha Underground, he used to call it like the arrow or something like that. And that's really how it is, because he just flies with so much speed here. Looked great. And then Cruz cracks Stacks in the face with a crowbar. Like, this looked great.
Yeah.
Just, like, bludgeoned him with this thing.
A lot of the crowbar shots look crazy.
Really good. Then brass knuckles are thrown into the ring, which has been kind of Santos's calling card. There's a big slap across the neck from Santos. And then Santos signals to Electra to grab the crowbar. He goes to the outside to get it. Tony D charges at him, and Santos moves, and he accidentally knocks Electra over. And has a moment where he's like, oh, shit, what did I do? Because remember, she bought good business to the D'Angelo family.
Whatever that
I
means.
I don't know what that means.
We never found
80%,
out. 80%. Yeah.
80%. Low blows Santos and then rolls him into the ring. Santos is able to come back with this leaping super kick. Now both men are down in the middle of the ring. They start to get back up. They're on their knees. They're staring at each other, bad-mouthing each other. And then... Tony looks to his right and sees the crowbar, and Santos looks to his left and sees the brass knucks. It's like the beginning of Hunger Games when they're all on their podiums and then they like blow the whistle and they got to run to get their weapons.
I've never seen Hunger Games. I've seen Battle Royale. It's similar. This reminded me of Good, the Bad, the Ugly too. Like the like looking, they look at each other, they look away, they look, they're like, are they doing it? Are we doing it? Like the stare down, right? The Mexican standoff.
So they both run after their weapon, but Santos gets the crowbar first, cracks... Sorry, Tony gets the crowbar first, cracks Santos in the head with it. Again, looked great.
Yeah.
And gets the win. 1, 2, 3. Santos Escobar must leave NXT.
Yeah, wow. Pour one out for Santos. As the crowd has given him this whole standing ovation, chanting Legado... Like, Legado. They were singing the theme forever, banging. But they were chanting as they go to the next segment, and you can't even hear the segment because it's so loud.
I wish we didn't have the next segment.
You should have just let that bleed out a bit, because, like, it's him leaving.
He's a big character who's been there quite a while now. Yeah. Like, Wade during the match is like, I can't imagine an NXT without Santos Escobar. He's been there, it must be two, three years now.
It's been a while.
Which is long for NXT. Yeah, I wish they let this moment linger a little longer, because I thought he deserved his flowers here.
100%. They cut to Indy Hartwell talking, and you couldn't even hear them because the mics were still on, and they were just giving this guy this send off. Tony last week said if Santos loses, he has to leave NXT, but he cannot take Legado with him. So therefore, that leads us to believe Santos will be going to the main roster. Again, maybe teaming or feuding with some people, and maybe bring Legado later on.
I think SmackDown would be a good place. Like, could see him, feuding with Gunther over the IC title. Could be a good start for him. I think, was maybe my match of the night.
This was my match of the
really
night.
Really fun.
Yeah. Street
the
fight
crowd
tonight.
Was so into it.
Yeah.
Tony D, actually, I feel in these kind of, hardcore matches is when he shines a bit more, because it allows his character to come out a bit more and maybe rely a bit less on the wrestling. But I thought they really got the crowd with some good near falls and spots in this, and with high stakes with the stipulation added. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, like they said, it was a street fight. There was weapons allowed, so that lets them use the gimmick stuff, but there wasn't a whole lot of
The gang to get involved.
Yeah, so there wasn't thumbtacks and blood and stuff like that, but I actually thought the wrestling between the two and the storytelling, you're right, of that kind of stuff, it made a lot of sense. This probably was my match of the night. I was invested in Santos. The entrance, you were in. Like, he gets your attention with the way he looks and acts. He does come across as someone who doesn't need to try to be cool. And that is something that wrestlers definitely, you can't just learn that. It's hard. And I think it's
from
really
day
easy
one,
for him.
Yeah. He's just being like, this guy's cool.
He's got the steez. So definitely, I'm sad to see him leave this show, because we watch the show every week and talk about him. So he has been a huge staple since coming in as the Phantom Son. So I am interested to see where he lands, hopefully in a prominent spot. But bring on the Latino World Order.
Yeah.
2.0.
I'd like to see Legado get a tag title run, though.
Hell yeah. Here. Do it.
If they're going to stick around for a bit, push them.
But I guess they got to work for Tony.
Yeah. Indy Hartwell is backstage with Caden Carter and Casey... No, what's the name?
Katana Chance.
Indy says...
I couldn't hear Indy, sorry.
She said she cried when she saw them win the tag titles the other week.
Aww.
And they're like, oh, cool, thanks.
Oh, good for
you. Bit weird. She says, being in a team is great, but trying to find herself on her own, blah, blah, blah. She gets interrupted with someone who gives her a letter, which she opens up, and it's a picture drawn by Dexter.
What?
Of Index.
Shout out Index. Index lives forever.
And Indy is kind of smiling and we're happy about this.
Do you think this is a note from Dexter from jail? Get me out of here!
I need bail money. How's that NXT contract of yours?
Help me! I'm getting arrested weekly. Can you please help me, Indy? We're still married by law. Help me out.
And this is where Blair Davenport from NXT UK, former Bea Priestley, arrives. Rips up the letter and says she's the future NXT Women's Champion. It's nice getting this Index nod again. I do wonder if
it's happening.
Yeah, I wonder, because Indy just feels out of place in NXT at the moment. It does look like she's obviously going to have a little maybe mini feud with Blair Davenport to start with, but I wonder with Dexter kind of floating around. Like, could we see the way, on the main roster, perhaps?
Yeah.
This is Dexter kind of being like, sup, Find
you
me,
up?
Find me on Mondays.
You up?
Yeah.
Hit me up.
Exactly.
What are you doing? Why? What is it? WYD?
WYD.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening, guys. Johnny Gargano, I think it's the writing's on the wall there. This rebel heart will beat yet again. It makes so much sense. They can let this go on for a while and then finally bring him in. It could be the Rumble. It could be a ways away, but bring him in, have him with. There's so much you can do now.
It does feel a bit weird. Like, I kind of feel the same with the Kenny thing. You bring back Kenny for a trios thing, which yeah. will be cool, but sure. like it's not what I do with him.
I want to see DIY as a tag team.
It does,
as well.
Yeah, it does feel a bit weird if you're bringing back a Johnny Gargano, you're bringing back for this like superhero
family,
the Incredibles kind of thing.
Johnny's gonna show up in a super suit,
but it could be, you know, trying to theory. You got out of control on your own. We need to bring you back down a bit.
Yeah,
with our murderer. Son-in-law.
Murderer friend who may or may not be going by the name Hatchet now. Dexter, I think his social media said Hatchet. So I was like, what the fuck does
that
mean?
They were calling him Dexter Loomis on Raw. Yeah.
Yeah. Hatchet's what he keeps in his jacket pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think this could have been an indication of an indie call-up. But yeah, Blair Davenport in... what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some stuff from her before. Mrs. Ospreay, and they've had matches together and stuff, and then he kicked her in the face, and then they weren't together anymore, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Everyone just seemed to be okay with that. I've seen some good stuff from her, but I didn't think this was a good first impression, because she did the thing where she grabs the like thing from Indy, the note, and then walks off and like is down the hall now, but still looking at you. Doing like a duck walk, like, And I was like, not the greatest first impression, but the wrestling, I think, will speak. I always did.
Yeah,
right.
It puts a bit more experience in the division as well.
But again, this NXT UK invasion continues here in 2.0.
We get a video hyping up Tiffany Stratton and Wendy Chu's feud. Tiffany says she is so over Chu. As am I. Chu says she's fed up of being looked down on, and next week is a lights out match. Tiffany says she's obsessed with lights out rules. The lights are dim, which is great because they're not going to be able to see Wendy's face, but it sucks because they also won't be able to see hers. And Wendy wants to make Tiffany feel how she makes others feel. So I think this is a literal lights out match.
Come on. This can't be a thing. No, I'm thinking
we have it in like the green, like night vision, the whole thing. Yeah, is that how we're watching this match?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds bad. I hope they don't do that, but
I don't know. Whatever it is, I hope it ends this feud, because I need to see Tiffany go on to something else, and I need Wendy to like find some ring gear.
Wendy Chu needs to go to bed. Needs to be put to bed like this feud. Because I don't know. If this is the way to do the whole kind of different side of her, it would make sense in a match. But now they're saying it's a lights out match. It was a gimmicked match. So, of course, she's going to be all gimmicky and do all the silly stuff again. Wendy Chu is awesome. But the character right now is just not like... I think she could be in a more serious...
They're teasing it evolving and it hasn't at all.
For a long time now. Yeah.
So...
And Tiffany is someone who, in a strange way, is gaining from this, but also it's, I guess, just holding her here because I don't know if they're ready to put her in something else, but she is a natural. So I don't know. I think she, again, has to beat Wendy, unfortunately, for Wendy.
I think so.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed their last match that had that like brawl around backstage at the beginning. So I think they could do fun stuff. I haven't disliked the matches. I'm just not into this Wendy Chu character.
A lights out match, meaning the lights are going to be turned off.
Yeah, this doesn't sound
dangerous.
Like AEW lights out, which have been like pretty brutal, I think.
Lights out match.
We'll see what they do.
Instead of thumbtacks, there'll be pillows and feathers and whatever else Wendy Chu can do.
We'll see what they do. We go to our NXT Women's Championship match. It's Mandy Rose, the champion, taking on Zoe Stark. Right before the match, there was another one of the scan me QR codes, which just showed an image of Zoe Stark from last week holding the title up above Mandy. It's all Mandy to start with, just attacking Zoe's knee. She's slamming her knee against the announce table, applying submissions, kicking away at the knee. After the break, we see Toxic Attraction get thrown out. They're protesting when Nikita Lyons who is Zoe Stark's tag team partner in the tag tournament on the main roster, runs out to chase them off, does a kick reminiscent of Jade to Kira Hogan last Wednesday, just completely missing JC Jane here to try and get her out. We go back to the ring where Mandy is now kicking at the knee. Stark manages to come back with a super kick, but it's not fully effective because she can't really plant that injured knee to get a solid super kick. Mandy then hits a kind of exploder. There's dueling forearms and chops between the two. And then Stark hits another big kick, but her knee completely gives out, allowing Rose to hit the go for the Rose trigger, but Zoe catches it with a roll up for a two. And then this time Mandy connects with the Rose trigger, but Zoe kicks out. Commentary putting this over big that no one has ever kicked out of this move before. But then Rose takes the knee brace off of Zoe, puts it on her own knee, and hits the Rose trigger using the knee brace.
The ref was totally cool with it.
The ref was like, whatever, we got a show to get through. We've got a few minutes left and a main event.
We let some other things slide earlier.
Yeah, it's like, it'd be unfair if we let that happen and not this. Mandy Rose is still your champion.
Mandy Rose retains. I think we kind of saw this coming. It's a cool little like pit stop for her here, but I do think the title does need to move off to someone else. It would make sense to have the title for Cora and Roxanne in that feud, but there was some good stuff in this. I don't know what was the biggest battle, Mandy Rose versus Zoe or Mandy Rose versus her own top in this match.
Lots of cuts to black. Yeah,
lots of that. She was struggling for a bit, but I like the fact that she targets the knee, and I actually kind of like the finish as well. As I'm like, kind of like, hey, that's not fair, but at the same time, Zoe wears it. So it's, I guess it's fair game, but I did like that finish.
I actually think Mandy is better when like having something to target it. Cause I think a criticism we've had is that connective tissue. It's a lot of walking around and then hitting a move and the move might look all right. But I think when we've seen her do this, like working a body part, it gives her a bit more focus in the match. So I thought it was one of her better matches. But on the flip side, Zoe Stark has some really cool, innovative offense that because her knee was being targeted the whole match, we didn't really see any of it. So it became a better Mandy Rose match, but a duller Zoe Stark match. For me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mandy's matches haven't been super hitting for me, but this one, I didn't mind some of the storytelling in it. I thought it was maybe better than more her average matches, but yeah.
But this reign needs to end, but kind of as we mentioned earlier, who?
Who do we put this on? I guess Miko Satomura.
Yeah. Do it.
Book it, cowards.
Do it.
Book it.
We go to a little vignette for Quincy Elliott.
Yeah.
Listen to Shot in the Dark every Wednesday on this very feed. John Cena running you through all the shows you may not have watched, including NXT Level Up, where we've seen this guy...
On a scooter?
Riding a scooter to the ring.
I hope he doesn't ride that thing on the sidewalk.
No. I'd tip him. Tip him over.
Tip him like...
like the cyclist, yeah. You're on the sidewalk, you're getting tipped. That should be my t-shirt, you're getting tipped.
But like, you work at a bar, so you could be getting tipped.
True. Yeah. I get tipped and I tip people.
Is that like another word in like Urban Dictionary? You're getting tipped?
Getting tipped. Let's have a look.
Because like, I feel like it could be.
It should be. It
sounds like something the Scottish people would say, but I wouldn't understand what they're saying.
leave or get away from a bad scene.
Tipping.
I saw what Mina's was getting ready to do, so I tipped.
Nah, it doesn't really work.
Tip to dude, sticks the tip. No, okay.
Well, Quincy Elliott was on Level Up, and he drives this like little like scooter
purple
thing.
Scooter or something.
But here he is in a promo wearing a Bratz t-shirt. The Dolls Bratz t-shirt, yeah.
He says, I'm Quincy Elliott, and I have a confession to make. I'm bringing all of this to NXT. I look to my left, and he kind of like pounces his lips.
Yeah.
I look to my right, and does it again. And I see people from all different walks of life. But I have never struggled being different. I own it. I work it. I am the super diva.
The super diva, Quincy Elliott,
so
coming
back
soon.
The term diva for Quincy Elliott.
Nice,
here.
Total diva.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to give benefit of the doubt. It's like it's definitely like the beginning of this gimmick. I know he's been using it on Level Up, but finally on TV where it can like, you know, be shown and go forward. But I feel like he's, when he's doing the look to my left, he's very acting it. Like,
yeah.
But hey, maybe this can go somewhere. I'm questioning it.
I do feel this is him though.
Sure.
Like this is, we see the attempts at LGBTQ characters in WWE, which people always get nervous at because they haven't been done correctly,
right,
or respectfully before. But also it's often throwing it on, you know, two straight guys like Billy and Chuck or stuff like that. Like this, I feel, is Quincy Elliott. It is this guy.
Fair.
So I would be interested to see how it takes off. And like this, it is a, like, more socially acceptable, you know, like people like Drag Race and stuff. People are into this,
dude,
stuff.
Drag
today.
Race. Look at Drag Race, it's ratings huge, compared to wrestling.
Huge. So like maybe again, new regime, this, and this Quincy guy who is like,
yeah,
I feel this is him. It could work. I don't know. I'll be interested because, being trepidatious with these characters before, but as I said, it's normally being just thrown on two straight dudes being like, hey, you're gay now.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Again, I would like to see, cause maybe he could, he almost looks like he's going for like a comedy thing. Cause he's like, I'm the diva and like acting a bit, you know, maybe narcissistic. So it's kind of going that almost Tyler Breeze esque, you know,
Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. Kind of going that route. But, I think it got a reaction from it. It got us like, all right, okay.
And
like,
I think he has been getting good reactions on Level Up.
What I really want to know is where he got the Bratz t-shirt, because your birthday's coming up.
Oh, you think I'd want a Bratz t-shirt?
Yeah, because you're a brat.
Yeah, true. We go to Grayson Waller, who says he punked out Apollo last week, and Apollo is selfish and willing to stab everyone in the back to prove he's the man. Well, next week, it's the debut of the Grayson Waller Effect. Another talk show in wrestling. And
this guy has zero creativity. I'm sorry. The whole gimmick he's used, his Titantron, is the Grayson Waller Effect. And then he gets a show, which I call it the Grayson Waller Effect.
Pretty sure his movie is called the Grayson Waller Effect.
Everything is just the Grayson Waller Effect. Like, dude, come on.
Something else.
Literally anything.
Oh, like, what else could you call it?
I don't know. Waller's Corner.
All
really,
about it. I don't know.
Wall about it.
Yeah.
Waller's Walkabout. And literally, like, come on, the Grayson Waller Effect, that's just like, you're like, not creative.
I'm just imagining in the PC, like jot down all these ideas.
What do you have? What do you got?
Like, just a page, and it's like,
the Grayson Waller Effect, the Grayson Waller Effect, the Grayson Waller Effect. What's your move called? The Grayson Waller Effect.
Grayson Waller Effect.
Right. What's your nickname? The Grayson Waller Effect. Yeah. But your name is great. All right.
Yeah. He says he's inviting Apollo next week to be his first guest. And then leaves, but then comes back and goes, ugh, Mackenzie, that perfume must be cheap.
Damn.
Poor Mackenzie.
We're just being sour on Grayson Waller because he didn't reply to us last week on where he got his shirts.
Yeah, and then wore not as nice shirt this week.
I didn't mind it.
It was okay.
It was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I bought some new shirts this week.
I know. You think you're the Rock lately.
I am the Rock.
Six minutes. What's up? yeah, Grayson Waller better wear a nice shirt next week, or it's a tanking segment.
Dead to us.
Yeah, honestly, the pressure is on for Waller to wear a fire ass shirt next week.
Yeah,
none of this mid shit.
I think Ethan Page to me has
number one.
The top shirt game.
Yeah, number one.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. I want to know where he gets his shirts from.
Hamilton.
I need to fill out the arms more. I do need to work on my arms.
He's got some cannons.
You've got to,
that Ethan
Page. You've got to fill them out.
Yeah.
Although it'll be winter soon and I can't wear any of these. Just back to wearing big coats and sweaters. I fucking hate winter.
Welcome to our NXT show. We're positive people.
Main event, NXT Championship, Bron Breakker versus JD McDonagh.
JD comes out with his Irish looking thing and music, and he comes out, he's ready because he's so evil, the unnecessary evil. And then Bron Breakker, the champion, he's got a big title match, and we know when he's got a big title match, he likes to break things.
We've seen him like break the NXT thing. He's broken chains before.
He's broke the black and gold NXT thing. Yeah. He's broken that. He's broken.
He sawed through some polystyrene once, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like chainsawed through like, yeah, styrofoam.
Yeah.
But now, at Heatwave, he breaks a box.
A box-like structure. with JD written on it.
It's just spray painted JD.
It's just this little shitty black wooden box just on the stage. Doesn't look fancy or anything.
No.
Look, we like people made fun of the Cody Rhodes throne thing, yeah. But at least it was like a throne.
Yeah.
It looked kind of cool. Yeah. We recognized it being Triple H's throne. We knew what it was. This was a
box.
Shitty black wooden box.
It looked like it was like from the
JD
cartoons.
It's like
Acme.
he showed up and was like, fuck, I've got a title match. No, I didn't break something. Anything. There's a box.
Let's we have this box.
JD on it.
How about this box?
And then, so he's got a sledgehammer, drives it into it. And it's not like this thing shattered or anything.
One little hole in it.
A little hole in the box.
And then he leaves.
And then he's like, yeah.
What's in the box? What's in the box? I didn't understand this
one.
Yeah,
this is kind of lame.
It was a bit of a letdown considering Carmelo Hayes, who is the A champion, he had actual fire at Heatwave in his entrance.
Yeah.
Braun should have walked out through fire. I'm sorry. You should have broke. The box should have been on fire.
Yeah.
And he should have broke it. Then you would have been super cool. Heatwave, a firebox.
Break the fire alarm glass to come out.
Yeah.
You know, backstage, like it's hot, have a glass fire alarm.
Yeah.
Smashes it, pulls and then it. His sirens go off. Yeah, you his pull entrance. It.
Bro, why
yeah,
don't we
hire
we
should, us?
Come yeah,
on.
Come on. At Up Next Podcast, Twitter, DMs are open, WWE. Shawn Michaels, your move.
Yeah.
Let us know, because that should have been his entrance. He pulls the thing down, and then the sirens for his entrance go off.
Yeah.
Guys, it's like we watch too much fucking wrestling. Like, but yeah, heat wave.
So Braun is trying, the whole thing has been building up to this feud. JD McDonagh being very methodical. He dissects his opponents. He knows exactly what parts of the body to target. And whereas Braun is just speed, aggression, athleticism, and just brute strength. Whereas the beginning of this match, Braun was kind of trying to show, hey, I can wrestle too.
I actually thought he was really slick. He was doing all sorts of counters to JD, and then even does a really impressive kip up and just is going back and forth.
Nice
really
roll throughs with the wrist locks and stuff.
Very
some,
slick.
Some nice stuff here. And then hits a delayed vertical suplex on JD whilst just marching around the ring. JD then comes back and tries to work on the shoulder of Braun, and then Braun hits this nice looking hammerlock belly to belly suplex. Looked really good here.
And then follows it up with a standing moonsault press.
After the break, JD is now targeting the neck and shoulder of Bronny Boy.
You know, JD just loves attacking different body parts because he studies where to hurt people.
Yeah. Bron fires up and starts kind of using his speed and aggression, more like the classic Bron we're used to. JD comes back with a crossface. There's the Frankensteiner from Braun off the top for a two count. And then they're both fighting on the top. And JD McDonagh hits a top rope Spanish fly, followed by a brain buster, which both look really nice.
Yeah, near fall there.
Then Breaker comes out of nowhere with the spear, but JD rolls out of the ring. He comes back in and Braun hits him with a second spear. And now the straps come down. JD gets back up and now you see he's popped a blood capsule. He's got his mouth bloody from the spear to the gut.
The unnecessary evil.
And he's laughing and just opens his arms, welcoming the pain, welcomes a third spear, and Braun hits the military press power slam for the win.
Pretty impressive power slam. I love that move. Yeah, the spears look good too. I'm happy he doesn't use the spear as a finish. I think it's a pretty weak finish in wrestling, no matter how good a guy hits it. His other move is way more cooler. And on a guy who's like JD, much smaller, it looks even more cooler. There was a lot of good wrestling in this. Like we said, Braun was kind of bringing out a different technical, faster side. And I think he's really improving in the ring. My entrance is I break a box. It's a little, like, not the most exciting.
I don't think he needs it now. I think he's starting to prove himself in the ring in these big matches.
Hey, another idea. We wouldn't have another top babyface, but another idea would give him more of an edge would to make him maybe turn or something, like use that. But I think the wrestling is getting there. So it does make me go, hey, what if this guy fought, you know, some of the bigger names on the main roster? I think he would be able to go with some of the moves he's hitting are looking really, really good. I wish that maybe this got a bit more time, actually, because I felt like it only got maybe 10 minutes or so, but I think it could have got into maybe a different gear, but I'm not saying I disliked it, but I think still my match of the night was the the storytelling aspect of Santos in that match. But yeah,
I thought Bron impressed here. I didn't think this did much for JD at all. We know this guy's good. I think it was a mistake having Bron dominate for so much of the beginning of the match. Sure. There was nothing from McDonagh here that really showed this character he's been working on. I think if right off the gate he was managing to just pinpoint certain parts of Bron and take him down, I thought there was more kind of like targeting from Mandy in her match than this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was all Bron at the beginning, and then what, JD applies a crossface and they're like, oh, look how much he targets. I'm like, well, everyone has a submission.
Yeah.
And I just thought it just made him look a bit of a geek, especially with the size difference. And then just the weird, like, welcoming the spear at the end, because it was almost Joe Gacy.
Yeah, it was.
This, to me, didn't really do much for McDonagh. But I did think Bron was impressive.
Yeah, and we kind of expected Bron to retain. But there was some shiny moments in it for sure. But that's not where the night ends.
No, because after the match ends, we have the sledgehammer ripoff play. Another kind of sledgehammer, not Bron's.
No.
And Tyler Bate, the NXT UK champion, comes out.
So does this not spoil like a whole tournament they got going on?
Yeah, has this aired yet?
I don't know. Listen to Shot in the Dark with John Cena. He covers UK. But so Dragunov got injured and had to relinquish the title. Mm-hmm. And I believe they were going to do a tournament that I don't think has aired yet.
I didn't think it had, because I was surprised.
This guy just walks out with the UK title and his ponytail, and he stands face to face with Bron, and the show ends with the logo up when Tyler Bate, Bron Breakker, face to face in the ring, holding up their titles. Therefore, again, kind of signaling unification, possibly, at the next big event. I mean, Worlds Collide is what you could call it.
I mean, could this be in the UK?
Because they're in Cardiff.
They're in Cardiff on the Saturday.
True, and we do think it's going to be in the daytime here.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
So do it on... Yeah. It would be the day after Clash at the Castle.
Well, I mean... That would be what I would say. They would go with the Worlds Collide thing, just because it's going to be people versus people. Tyler Bate versus Bron sounds pretty good. Again, Miko, Mandy, I guess. UK
chance. NXT Worlds Collide. And could this be unification matches?
Is this the foreshadowing of NXT UK is dead?
I mean, it depends. I don't know what the deal is with BT Sport.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, they could end this show and have something in its place, but yeah.
Interesting.
Because that's the only thing I can see, like, keeping NXT UK alive is, well, you've got a 5-year contract with BT Sport where you've promised us a UK wrestling show. So if that's the contract, they've got to provide that.
Sure.
But it does feel a lot of these people kind of moving over. And I think, as I said earlier, with a lot of these people, especially a Tyler Bate, who's been just in purgatory for years now.
Yeah, he's a pretty good talent. I think with the whole Triple H thing, he's someone you could bring in, and him and Pete Dunne, and I know he had the thing with Trent Seven and stuff, but like the Mustache Mountain guys, the British Strong Style guys, are pretty sweet, and everyone always loves that Tyler Bate Pete Dunne match from a while. You could easily run that back. But yeah, so NXT UK Invasion on 2.0, it looks like we're gonna get these unification matches. This could make me believe that NXT UK is packing up shop, just because a lot of them have already floated over here and for quite a little while. So that does lead me to believe, hey, maybe there is going to be some changes. And it would be cool for them to do it in Cardiff over there while they're over there.
It makes more sense, I think.
I
think you'd get people go to see it, especially if it's in a smaller venue with, you know, more attractive price tickets for this.
Right.
I think it makes way more sense doing it there.
NXT 2.0 versus NXT UK dream matches for our Worlds Collide show. What other matches would you want to see?
Well, I think you're getting the UK titles on Gallus. So you'd have Gallus versus Creed.
Sure. Briggs and Jensen lose them next week.
I think so, unfortunately. You'd get... Look at me, unfortunately. Such a mark for these guys now. 6 minutes, what's up? Mako Mandy just sounds weird. But
who do you put in that spot?
But sure.
Someone come down, quickly beat Mandy for the title and book against Miko.
Unless you do some sort of multi-woman match for the... No, but then you can't really do title.
Sasha wants the match with Miko, so I mean, bring her back.
Bron versus Tyler Bate.
Yeah. North American Championship, you could do a ladder with a bunch of different guys in it.
Is there any kind of... Because we've had at World's Collide, we had that Undisputed Era versus Imperium.
It sucks about Dragunov, because you could have put him in with Braun too. Yeah. Instead, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, is this the end of NXT UK?
Mm.
We will find out as we head towards some sort of crossover joint show. But Fire Frank in the Twitch chat says we need another rounds match.
NXT. I know some of the feedback didn't like it. I enjoyed that last week.
We need, who's the Heritage Cup winner versus Carmelo? Is that Axiom? He won it.
Who is Heritage Cup at the moment?
Is that even a real thing? I just heard
John Cena talk about it. I thought that was Tyler Bate as well, wasn't it? Well, no, it'd be against Wes, wouldn't it?
Right.
Who's the rounds current champion. Rounds champion of NXT.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Does anyone still watch NXT? Yeah, though some of the wrestling on it has been all right, so I mean... Past few years, everyone always talks about Dragunov Walter being the best match of the year, and that's from NXT UK.
Noam Dar right now.
Hell yeah, Noam Dar.
Noam Dar, Wes Lee for the
to just be round a singles champion. Match sounds good.
That could be pretty good, actually.
That'd there you nice. Go. We're booking this pay-per-view that might or may not happen. And if they book it the same time of All In, no one will watch it.
Yeah. Well,
or sorry, All Out.
All Out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we thought. It's time to go to the Up Next Facebook group to see what you guys thought. If you haven't joined the group already, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, we have a Up Next page on Facebook, but it leads you to the Up Next group, which will let you in, and we share all sorts of funny stuff, including some feedback threads like this.
We start with Corey, who says, Santos Tony ruled. Mandy Zoe kind of sucked real bad, especially with Mandy having to constantly stop to adjust her top. And Akita's kicks to JC and Gigi were abysmal. It was pointed out elsewhere, but it feels like the roles have completely reversed, with Raw having the best women's division now and NXT having the worst. Mandy's reign has reached Triple H reign of terror levels of terrible, hoping Mako Satomura strays away from this trash fire of a division right now.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because Miko could have a banger with someone and Mandy's not on that list, unfortunately. But hey, maybe she'll surprise us. We go to Fire Frank, who writes it here. Now, we know it must have been Mello setting fire to trash cans at Raw. I approve. Pour one out for Santos. You'd think Diamond Mine would have avoided the ring after watching back last week's show. What a wild addition of NXT UK, eh? Brandon from New Jersey told me privately he is super pumped for Gallus, though.
Fair enough.
True, big fan of Gallus.
We go to Magan, who says, Heatwave was a newsworthy episode with some solid action, an exit or two, and that may or may not be the death knell for NXT UK. Gallus showed up just as Diamond Mine were on the verge of collapse. Crickets. So we start going to SmackDown this Friday, telegraphed her loss to Mandy Rose. I'd never thought the main roster would eclipse NXT in the women's department, but here we fucking are. I'd be surprised if Jade or Perez aren't holding the title by the end of the year. Escobar is clearly main roster bound, and for once, I'm not dreading it with the creative turnover that's afoot. Hayes, Vinci was a strong opener, and Bron JD was solid. Tyler Bate, as NXT UK champion, showing up is setting up a potential Worlds Collide. If Mako Satomura ends up on that show, she's going to embarrass Mandy Rose. Yeah, I said it. What's up?
And then we go to Sean, who writes in, I didn't care for this show at all. I'm done with these television specials. They're not working. First, there's too many of them. Second, they don't operate any differently than a regular show. Either way, they don't feel special anymore. Also, the constant censoring of the crowd chants screws up the show for the TV viewers. Yeah, a lot of the holy shit chants or any of that is bleeped out on USA Network.
It's the fact that, like, they can't time it well, so all you hear is, shit, holy's quiet. Yeah. And
yeah, it's a tough job to do.
Yeah.
The dump button. He continues, as for the matches themselves, I was digging Mello and Vinci till the finish. Trick being allowed to blatantly come into the ring was ridiculous. The match between Cora and Roxanne was disappointing and proved why this whole angle was rushed and poorly built. The street fight was fine, but the loser leaves concept loses punch when leaving means a promotion. Also, don't agree with breaking Escobar away from LDF. Mandy versus Zoe was good, even with Mandy's wardrobe malfunctions, but we got another wonky finish. How is Mandy using Zoe's brace as a weapon legal? Main event was fine, but nothing special. Continues, which brings me to the big news for the night, the multiple appearances by UK talent. It was good to see Gallus, Blair, and Tyler stateside, but if I'm really pissed that they decided to go ahead and spoil the outcome of the tournament. Non-UK viewers may not care, but I am much do not cool. And there is no way the NXT crowd is going to root for Braun over Tyler. I'm beyond frustrated. I hope with the creative resurgence happening on the main roster, 2.0 would be in line for the same, but no such luck. These days, Raw and SmackDown looks more like NXT than NXT.
All right.
Damn. I mean, yeah, he's kind of on the right track, especially if you actually do watch that show.
Like, I'd be mad.
Yeah,
if
I would
I followed
be.
It, because I was surprised when it came out. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I guess he is the champion. Yeah, pretty weird that they decided to do that.
But then if you've got to start building this thing, it's like, well, fine. I guess it's more important. This one's on TV. The other one is, you know, on the network. It's not as important.
Well, that was Heat Wave.
Yeah.
Heat Wave. Thanks so much for listening to us chat all about it. Again, BD Elite is not tomorrow, but Davey will be joining Pollock for a wine to Dynamite, chatting all about, hopefully, the battle cry. I'm really hoping it's Kenny, so I'm excited.
Post-wrestling feed.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch that live, youtube.com/post-wrestling immediately after AEW.
Yeah, we went live immediately after Heat Wave tonight. So usually we used to go 10:15 and so forth, but we're going to try going forward to just go right after the show.
Get our act together a bit more.
Yeah, so hey, after you're watching NXT every week or Dynamite every week when we go live and stuff, we'll be going live like ASAP, essentially. So look forward to that on the YouTube and Twitch. And again, patreon.com/upnext. $5. That's how we keep our lights on. And we have so many podcasts that you can go and check out. All the retro Heatwave 98 review that's there, retro NXT reviews, movie reviews, all that stuff is all up there. And it's only $5, guys. So please go check us out and listen to all the great podcasts that we create. And follow the socials for the next little while, because we're going to be going to wrestling shows. We're going to be going to Raw with Pollock. We're going to be doing all sorts of fun stuff. So definitely follow at Up Next Podcast on Twitter. And then myself, Braden Harrington, I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I'm at The Brady.
And I am at Davey Portman.
We appreciate you guys listening. We could not do this without you. We love you.
We do.
We really do. Hope you stay cool and stay hydrated during this heat wave.
And did you know that orangutans learn everything they need to know from their mom?
Shout out moms.
Shout out moms.
I hope my mom had fun at Sticks.
Me too.
Tonight. That's it. That's all. I appreciate you. That was Heat Wave. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. I hope you enjoyed your 15 minutes of fame.
16 minutes. What's up? Ahoy!